Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. This is the
you really threw yourself
this
off.
This is the Comic Book Club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, and you're Nathan. We're brothers, and we read comics.
I don't even know if you said that this was Trade Raiders, but yeah.
I said welcome to the Trade Raiders podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah. Merry Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Go hug somebody.
Go hug your family.
Go hug your turkey.
And eat your family.
Yeah. Hug your turkey, eat your family.
Yes. This is the Thanksgiving episode. We're going to be reading about the First Family, otherwise known as the Fantastic Four, otherwise known as the Future Foundation. We really
in this instance, yeah.
Yeah, in this instance, I can't believe we've never done a Fantastic Four book before.
We probably should have done it for every Thanksgiving, you know,
like this is our
the last couple of years.
This is our Fantastic Four episode.
Sure. Better late than never.
Yeah, true. But then we got some time codes, don't we?
Yeah, they have things like our poll list. They have things like our The Back Matter Matters. And then, talks. We can skip to right to the book if you'd like. But we always start with what, Nathan?
We start with the news.
Nathan, good news.
Good news.
The Sandman is renewed for a second season on Netflix.
That is good news. I thought there was no shot.
I thought there was plenty of shots because I follow Neil Gaiman. He always retweets a lot of good feedback. And so I'm like, clearly a lot of people watching
this. I thought that was a move of like desperation almost because it's like the most expensive thing Netflix has done, I think. And so.
No shot.
I think he like mentioned
Stranger Things.
I think he like mentioned that like a lot. Like it's like a really, really expensive show.
He said it's expensive, but not the most expensive thing on Netflix.
I almost am positive that it's like it's pretty up there. And I'm pretty sure I heard him say something like that. So
nope, we're stopping so I can prove you wrong.
Okay, all right, let's look this up.
So season 4 of Stranger Things was $270 million.
Okay.
And I think Sandman was like $15 million an episode.
It was Yeah, okay, $15 million per episode, and there was what, 12 episodes?
11.
11? So yeah. That's $165 million, and what did you say?
270.
Oh, okay. Pretty damn expensive, though.
Yeah, why would they throw all this money into something that, like,
might
they don't
worked.
Know works, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
But it's good that we're getting another one. Oh, and they had a bonus episode, too, so it's like, that's probably like another $15 million.
Maybe.
Potentially, but yeah. Good news all around. I still haven't finished it, but I'll get to it.
Speaking of Netflix, Nathan.
What's up?
Your favorite movie, The Gentlemen, is getting a spinoff series there.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I've always been known to be a big fan of The Gentlemen.
And finally, we get more Gentlemen.
The movie I almost watched on a plane because you recommended it, and then I watched Whiplash.
A movie you've already seen.
A movie I'd already seen, but that was pretty good. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of show that could warrant a television, or is that the type of movie that could warrant a television show?
There's definitely could be a lot in that world. So, and I'd like to see something in the vein of the energy of that movie. So, yeah, there's a lot of characters in it. So, there could be lots of opportunity for spinoffs.
Okay. Same people are going to be part of it. Same. Wasn't it like a Mitchell? What's the director's name? Guy Pearce?
Guy Pearce is a Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Guy Pearce is
he's an actor, isn't he? Yeah, okay, never mind. Daniel Brubaker and Phillips are gonna have their next project.
Night Fever
arriving next year.
In June.
It's a graphic novel, Image Comics, big surprise, and the publisher describes Night Fever as a Jekyll and Hyde story of a man facing the darkness inside of himself. Sounds like a pretty typical.
Sounds like Brubaker. Kill or Be Killed too.
Yeah, it is. So that's pretty cool though.
Sweet. Yeah. No, that was the news I was most excited for. So I wanted to butt in there while you were saying it. Nathan, the people have clawed for it. They begged. They rioted. And Disney said yes to the Grogu short film that will be coming out November 12th. It's probably out
of this year.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even So it's a, how long is a short film?
That's a great question. It could be one of those 5 minute things. It could be an hour.
Should be a short, right?
It won't be like a full 2 hour movie, I don't think.
Like if it's 45 minutes, that's insane.
Yeah.
Is it in canon? Is it after season two?
What if it's...
maybe it's him getting trained by Luke.
It'd be cool if it was like ambiguous.
That would also be cool. But I feel like we would kind of know. Relatively.
Okay, if you search Grogu, nothing comes up in IMDb. So, I don't know. I just heard about it, and I'm like, I'll write that down.
That's weird. Daniel Vault, the comic book publisher, will publish music-inspired graphic novels through their new imprint, Headshell. And, Daniel, let me list who's involved with this, okay?
Okay.
Do you know who Pete Wentz is?
Yeah, Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, he's making a comic.
You can find his dick on the internet if you'd like.
Metallica is involved. Def Leppard is involved. And more will rock their way into comics via the new imprint. And Fall Out Boy co-founder Pete Wentz and co-writer Hannah Klein will be making a comic called Dying Inside, which is pretty cool, with Lisa Stirl. And that's pretty cool. The Fall Out Boy guy is making a comic.
Very interesting.
He's trying to Gerard Way.
Yeah, we need more musicians making comics.
I agree. I don't agree with like music-inspired graphic novels because I think that that's weird. And the one sensory thing I feel like comics doesn't have is like, other than taste.
Sound?
Is sound, yeah.
So, no, they all have a taste to them.
Do they? Oh my God. I'm missing out.
The only comic that has music that works is Kiss Zombies, Nathan.
Yeah.
So
that just works perfectly because there was famous Kiss songs.
They will never match the thrill that we got from that.
Maybe they're trying to follow that model and they're like, this Kiss Zombies book was so good. Mm. We need to make Metallica Zombies.
Fallout Zombies.
Fallout Boy Zombies.
Fallout Zomboys.
Yeah.
Nathan, sad news.
Yeah.
Comic book artist Carlos Pacheco has passed away.
Yeah.
He died November 9th when we were recording this.
Yep.
He passed away from ALS, unfortunately.
It was ALS? Mm-hmm. Oh, I missed that. That sucks.
Super brutal.
Wow.
Super shitty.
He was on like a bunch of really good stuff, mm-hmm. including a Green Lantern number one that was written by Jeff Johns that I have.
Ooh.
Which is just awful. And like a bunch of other stuff like JLA/JSA, and he did some like Marvel like X-Men stuff, and Excalibur I think was one of his, and
a super random one that Fantastic I think Four. I have is like Uncanny Avengers that he did like a couple years ago, and that was like a run that had like Deadpool in it for some reason.
Is that why you like picked it up?
Yeah, that's why I picked it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I have a couple of his that were just like random ones that I'd pick up because I thought they looked cool. But like that just kind of speaks to his influence. Like he made things look pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a JLA JSA run that he did and he draws a really good Catman.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like,
you mean Wildcat?
Wildcat, I mean. Yeah.
Catman's from Kiss, Nathan.
Yeah. Sorry. I just love that book so much. But no, Wildcat. And I'm like, damn, he would draw a really good Wildcat. But yeah, that sucks. I had no idea it was ALS.
Yeah. I like looked a little bit more into it to kind of see what he'd worked on that I'm aware of.
Yeah, damn.
And that was
he did some Superman as well.
Right.
I think that's all the news I had.
Same.
Okay, then that's everything for me.
All right.
Daniel, it's Thanksgiving.
It sure is. But I have a question for you real quick.
Okay.
I saw it on TikTok and I wanted to ask you.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So did Wolverine's foreskin grow back after circumcision?
Daniel, that's a great question. I'm very glad that you asked. I don't think so, because when you're a mutant, you don't get your mutant powers until you reach a certain age, and it's because it's a metaphor for puberty and your body changing, and that's generally been the idea.
Yeah, because like so, in Origins, it's not till like he's like 10 or something, right?
Yeah, and then he has the bone claws, and like that's pretty much what it is for most X-Men. I mean, some of them get it like right out the gate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that he is uncircumcised.
True.
I think
true.
They got him early enough.
Right. Okay.
But I guess that's
a smart answer.
But I guess the question then is, why does he grow older? When did he get his powers? Was it when he was looking like how we know Wolverine?
No,
because if he got it as a kid, then he just basically grew to a certain point, which means that like cells are dying and more like regenerating, and then you just kind of like get older.
I don't know the biological answer for that, but yeah. I think he still gets old. Maybe he ages a little bit slower than everybody.
I think that's what it is, because there is like an old man Logan, and I'm like, I don't understand this, but
yeah. And then like he like fought in like all those wars and shit, you know. So
yeah,
he's been around for some time, but and he dies like eventually. Mm-hmm. And he does get old, you know, so it's not like he's this immortal.
He's not like immortal. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
But because the healing factor, I think it just takes a
little
longer.
But do you think when his healing factor got activated, do you think it was smart enough to know like, oh shit, there used to be some extra dick skin here? And they like gave it back to him. And he's like, oh, what's going on?
But finally.
he could have had the best of both worlds.
Yeah, can you imagine just being an adult and experiencing both? Like going back.
Yeah. That'd be such a privilege.
I know, right?
That is a good question though.
Yeah, I don't think
we should ask Hugh Jackman.
Because it's like healed already, I don't think it would then. I don't think it'd repair like old.
But I feel injuries. Like his body knows what his body is supposed to be, like naturally. So like if he gets like I don't know, his arm chopped off. I guess that doesn't really happen either. If he gets burned, his body knows like where his skin's supposed to be at and where his organs are supposed to be repaired and stuff. So I assume that it's like it knows like what the body should have, and it knows that it should have a little bit of extra dick skin.
I like to think of the healing factor as he's like just souped up red blood cells or something, you know? So like when it feels pain and like goes to that area, right, and then just gets to work, like making the scar tissue and the scabs and stuff.
Yeah. But scar tissue is not normal tissue as well.
Right, so not scar tissue, but replacement tissue, yeah, or whatever.
Right.
So
you think he gets healing factor and kind of like locks him in at like that current state, kind of, except for getting older.
Yeah. So like it wouldn't repair something that happened a long time ago that is now healed, you know, and is no longer an issue.
Gotcha. But aging naturally, although slower, does still happen. So like if he does get thrown into a fire, it remembers like, oh, this is what he was like. Like an hour ago, so let's just go back to that.
So it's like a backup. So almost. Aging is just like cells dying and then new cells are made, and that's how aging works.
Well, there's a little more to that, but that happens in aging.
Okay. So as long as none of them dying and they're just all alive and more keep creating, he would not look older or get older.
You would be in just like a singular state, you know.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, your cells make more cells. So if those cells didn't die, mm-hmm. you would just be exploding with cells.
Right.
Like those cells need to die.
So it'd get real fat.
Yeah. Well, like you need to maintain like a certain like range of cells. But if no cells die and they're still making more cells, those cells would like take over the world.
I didn't do great in biology.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I got
that's
like fair. A C. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with cheating. So
if someone got a healing factor and their cells didn't die, the world would be fucked. It would just be like red goop. Like,
you think so?
I think so. Yeah. Because if like no cells are dying.
I bet there's like a TED talk on this somewhere.
There might be. I'm going to look into it. It's just Hugh Jackman.
Anyway.
Dana, we read The Fantastic Four by Jonathan Hickman.
Nathan, we read FF.
Sorry, FF.
Or
by Jonathan Hickman, artist Steve Epting and Barry Kitson, with color artist Paul Mounts and a couple letterers. We got Russ Wooten and Clayton Callas.
Wow, Russ Wooten, we love him.
We got the big two.
Yeah.
Is Russ is the one on Invincible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of the time.
I always read his name and I'm like, I know him from somewhere, probably Russ Invincible.
Wooten. He does like everything with Kirkman, it seems like.
That's cool. What about with Hickman?
Apparently
just a couple things at least.
Yeah.
But what did you think of this?
And I thought this was a great tale about family.
I thought so too. You know, and in a way it is. There's grieving of family members. There's additions to your family that are not necessarily biological, but it's still family. And there's androids, which mm-hmm. is what every family goes through.
Yeah.
Android and dragons specifically.
Is that what he is?
And moloids.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of moloids, Daniel.
Yeah. Every family should have
a couple of moloids and a mole man.
And they do eat around a table. So that
they do. Of, yeah. That's
so that's
our Thanksgiving moment of the week. Mole Man's in this. He's got some sick glasses. I gotta say, I should be Mole Man one year for Halloween.
And you could definitely be Mole Man.
I want to see how many people get it because it's
when I saw it, like, is that Nathan?
That's an insult, actually, because yeah, he's a small, fat man.
That's not the greatest
thing. Danny DeVito
thing
could be Mole Man.
Oh,
in the
my
MCU.
God, that'd be so cool.
Okay, I'm going to call it right now. Once Fantastic Four happens and they inevitably cast Mole Man because he's the best Fantastic Four villain, not Doctor Doom, okay?
No.
Not Galactus. Mm-mm. Mole Man.
Mole Man.
With his moloids.
Right.
That'd be so sick. Anyway, yeah. I thought it was pretty good because I wasn't confused until about the end, but then I figured it out, and that's progress, because I'm always confused by Hickman books.
This book was so Hickman.
It was pretty Hickman.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, all right, first issue, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, it's just like normal. It's a normal comic book. Maybe this was before everything. And then the next issue, it's like, oh, here's the Council of Reed Richards that are interdimensional and are getting hunted by Celestials.
Like, there we
and
are.
So they come to Earth. And I'm like, ah, there it is. But overall, I mean, it wasn't as like overwhelming. Like, I'm familiar with the Council of Reed Richards.
Yeah.
And I forgot that those were a thing. And I forgot that like Rick and Morty, like, totally bit that.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like the Council of Ricks, and I'm like, that's funny. But yeah, I like this a lot, and I think Steve Epting fucking killed it. I wish he was on it the whole time.
Yeah, I thought I couldn't necessarily see the transition, but I thought all the artwork was really good.
I could, and I thought that the second artist was Frank Quietly at first, because that's he kind of gave
me
that vibe.
Faces like that.
Yeah, and know? So I was like, no way, that's so sick. But it wasn't. But I think that's a compliment to Barry Kitson, who's the second artist on the latter half. But let's get into it, Daniel.
No, ready.
So we're at the Baxter Building, and Reed watches a hologram of the Human Torch, and it's like his virtual will, I guess. But he's like dead. I don't really know why, but he's pretty dead. And he's like, I hope Spider-Man will replace me on the Fantastic Four. And then we see like the building getting like rebranded to the Future Foundation, and Reed's like, this is the future. And then Spider-Man gets a tour of the Baxter Building from Invisible Woman, where she explains that Reed Richards' father is back from the future, and they're like also teaching geniuses at the Future Foundation, which is why there's like a bunch of random characters in here. But Steve Epting is so sick. Like, he draws like a great Spider-Man first off, but I was like floored by his king, the Thing.
Yeah, the Thing was sick.
The Thing is like such, he does it so well. And I'm normally like not crazy about like the Thing that often. But if he's done right, he's easily the best character in like the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because he's just like this big lug. But in here, he's like pretty grounded. No pun intended. And he's like grieving and stuff. And I just like that about him. That's like big brutish guy.
Yeah.
So pretty sick. I can't remember when it's mentioned in the book, but it's so metal that Reed Richards' dad went around the multiverse killing other hims. That's like a thing that happened, I guess.
It's pretty Kang.
That is pretty Kang. Is that what Kang does?
Yeah.
That makes sense. But Reed, or his name's Nathaniel Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's so metal.
You get another Nathan add to your list.
That's right. Reed Richards' dad. So Spider-Man doesn't know if it's like a good time to join with the loss of the Human Torch, but he eventually joins and is given his Future Foundation suit. And it like changes patterns based off of his thoughts or something.
You get to choose.
I think it's a bit lazy, and he doesn't really do it that often, so there's not really much of a point. It
happens like twice.
But goddamn, that suit is so clean.
It's like one of the best.
It's like my favorite.
The only reason why, so I've read this before, right?
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah. That's I got cool. Kind of far. I think I just read it into the second trade, and I only read this book because of Spider-Man Unlimited,
yeah,
where you can get the Future Foundation suit, and I was like, that looks sick. What is that from?
So you're talking about the Infinite Runner application on your phone for free that you can get.
Yes.
Spider-Man Unlimited.
And I spent far too many hours playing.
Weren't you like top 10 or something in that game?
I was two.
You were number two.
I was number two.
You were the first loser in North America playing
so
that game.
So the first one, the number one, was like 10 times my score, right? Mm-hmm. And I could tell, and it was like, it had to be some sort of like mod or something, or someone like hacked it or something. Yeah. Like, cause there's just no way. Cause like my number two, my run that got me number two, that was like an hour or maybe more of just like straight playing.
That's crazy.
It was absolutely insane.
It was a movie.
My greatest achievement so far.
That is crazy, but.
Because, like, I remember, like, playing. I'm like, damn, that was a good run. And I just checked the leaderboard. And I'm like, I'm like, this is bad. Dude, this is not a good thing.
That game was so good.
I think I have a screenshot of it, but I've switched phones, like, so many times that, like, I
need to go
dig for it.
I've never been number two at anything.
I've maybe number two, like, son or something, but.
No,
not even first.
That's, you know, you could have been number one. You just didn't want it enough. You didn't want it enough in the game.
Didn't.
You should have hacked the game.
Yeah, I know.
But that's crazy. I forgot about that, actually, until you brought that up.
I think about that game all the time.
Still?
I think about it all the time.
Oh, you think about it,
I don't play it. Because yeah. I don't... I had to get rid of it, because I'm pretty sure it ruined my GPA freshman year.
It's a sick game. That's funny. Anyway.
Okay, how do you feel about the thing in, like, a tank top?
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I think I would feel different about, like, the Hulk in a tank top, but I kind of like the Thing in one.
Yeah.
I feel like it suits him pretty well.
It works for this, like, suit, and then, you know, with some battle wear, like, it just rips off or something, and he's just shirtless again.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
People are like, yeah, that's normal.
Exactly.
But yeah, they immediately have to use these suits because AIM, the evil criminal organization, breaks into a facility to free a guy named the Wizard, and then they all teleport away. But Dana, I think one of my favorite tropes with the Thing is that he jumps out of a big plane all the time, and I love this panel.
We just like the 2014 movie, Nathan.
Just like the 2014 movie, he jumps out of a big plane and he just lands.
It's a trademark of the Thing.
It is. That's the only thing he does.
And speaking of the Wizard, Nathan. Our famous segment, Who the Fuck Is That?
I was scared that this was going to happen.
No, this is going to happen all fucking book.
Okay.
So, who is that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I thought it was fucking Norman Osborn at first. Because when we first see him, he's naked in a cell. And he's like meditating or something. And I'm like, is that Norman Osborn? Because I thought the eyebrows. But no idea.
The helmet kind of reminds me of like the bad guy from Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
So,
and I think that's him.
When it's like a helmet like that, like, how are you supposed to take him seriously, you know?
I mean, like, Magneto has a helmet like that.
That's just a cooler helmet.
It is a cooler helmet. This is...
Whenever it makes your head look bigger, bad helmet.
Yeah. No, I think... I disagree. If it makes it look too tall, that's a bad helmet. Because his is like...
So, what's a big helmet that is a good helmet?
Black Manta.
Not a great helmet.
It is a good helmet.
It's not practical.
It's not practical, but it's cool.
I don't think so.
Hawkman. Big helmet.
That's a tall helmet.
No, it's big.
Mm.
Not like the helmet part, but like the accents to it, the wings and whatever.
Also not practical, yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, see? I win.
But it is like Juggernaut. The dorkiest part. Good helmet.
Good helmet. Undeniably. So yeah, the Wizard and AIM like teleport away and they're like, well, that sucks.
Did you catch the part where like Sue Storm just like runs Atlantis?
Yeah. So she was fucking with Namor.
Yeah.
Namor. We still don't know, do we? Namor?
Yeah.
Namor.
Namor.
Namor? We still don't know. We'll figure it out after Black Panther comes out.
I'm going to be so mad.
If it's Namor.
Say it. He's like, I am... Namor or some shit like that. I'm like, what?
I'm leaving.
My popcorn.
I want name or.
I'm gonna start rating movies on Rotten Tomatoes. That's just getting a zero.
We're gonna review bomb
this movie
and we're gonna hashtag not my Namor. Namor. So
oh man. Oh, dude, you know.
But yeah,
that happens all the time, you know? I'd be like, is that what it is? You know, with like just pronunciations and stuff?
Yeah.
But I feel like this one's never been confirmed in any way.
Yeah, people have just said... I mean, I don't know anybody that has said Namor, I don't think.
Or Namor?
Namor, maybe.
That sounds dumb, though.
That sounds
like... sounds like hammer.
It's... yes, but it's not as much effort as like Namor, I guess. I feel like there's...
It's just as much effort as Nathan.
No.
It's two syllables.
I don't know how to explain what I'm saying, but like Namor is like so big, but Namor kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit more.
That's not my Namor.
I would love it if it was Namor.
If it was Namor, and that sounds like a girl's name, you know? That sounds like it could be a name.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. I think that's why they might go with Namor. Or Namor.
Shit. Not Namor. That's even worse.
Namor. I don't know, dude.
I'm getting my Namors mixed up.
Me too. I don't even know what I like anymore. But yeah, so Sue was fucking with Namor.
Thank you.
But like, not like fucking, but like Namor definitely wants her, but she's still loyal to Reed for some reason, even though he's the worst.
Yeah.
And so I guess she was like leading Atlantis for a little bit. I don't know. There's a lot of continuity with Fantastic Four, specifically in this book, that I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know why Human Torch is dead, but that's just how it is. Also, I feel like I can't take AIM soldiers seriously now that I've seen the MODOK TV show. Because they look so goofy to me.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
They look like Marty McFly's like suit that he has.
Yeah, you're so right.
Like the plutonium suit.
Yeah, when he goes and when he goes back to the, or when he goes to the past for the first time.
I am Darth Vader. Like,
that was pretty good.
I just can't take it seriously.
Yeah. So later the team has the Thanksgiving moment of the week, Daniel.
Dude, that's Thanksgiving food on the table.
Is it?
Like, there's like a turkey.
Oh shit! Yeah, you're right.
And you got some rolls in there.
Yeah, there's like,
and there's a ham.
Dude, this is just Thanksgiving.
It is just Thanksgiving. That's perfect.
Perfect. We planned this.
Next year, we gotta read through all the Fantastic Four books and find another scene.
Find
like
every
this,
book that has, a
and then review
scene.
That one. Yeah, only review them if they have this scene. I feel like that should be like a staple of like Fantastic Four. It's just like,
there's always a Thanksgiving dinner, yeah, or
like an ambiguous dinner that looks like Thanksgiving, you know?
Who cooks all this?
Dragon Man, probably.
Oh, probably, yeah. He's got nothing else going on, I feel like.
That dude is so cool, but so weird that he's just there.
I love a big monster with like some little glasses.
Yeah. What is he sitting on? Is he just squatting?
He might just be like kneeling down or something. There's no shot he's on a chair.
Yeah, because he's got that tail.
Yeah.
Maybe he turns the chair sideways and sits like that.
They got some interesting people on this table. And you know what? Sometimes your family's interesting.
And who are all these fucking aliens?
They're... Okay, I think... Actually, I don't know. There's Maloids.
Oh, there's the diagram at the end of this issue.
There is, and I read it, and I was like... I don't know what to
is
do with
Franklin
this.
Is Franklin Richards in this?
Yes.
Are you sure?
He's in this panel.
Where?
Next to Spider-Man?
I'm going to skip to...
He's in the Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. 5.
He's to the left of Spider-Man.
Does he have, like, brown hair?
No, he's got, like, Zack and Cody hair. Ponytail is Daddy Richards.
There's also, like, another kid there, I think.
Yeah, that kid next to the alien is, like, also an alien, I think. Yeah, let's skip to the back.
Because, like, who was that kid at the end of the book who was, like, kind of taller, but that was blonde as well?
That was Franklin Richards.
They called him something else. They called him, like, Jake or something, I think.
No, there's a guy named Bentley 23. That's the kid with brown hair at the Thanksgiving scene.
Okay.
He's a child clone of Bentley Whitman, the wizard. Oh, I didn't know that. Genius and ward of Reed Richards.
Huh, okay.
Dragon Man's an android brought to life by the villain Diablo. Wow. I'm realizing there's a lot more coordination to this book than I thought, because those two characters show up. Fuck. There's three Maloids. There's a floating head. Where's the float? Oh, yeah, there is a floating head. And then there's two Atlantean-like creatures. That are from Ulhari.
Good name.
So, why are they all there? Who fucking knows? I doubt there was like an issue where they were bringing them together. I think they were just all there.
I think Reed Richards and Sue Storm are kind of like Brad and Angelina, you know? They're just, they got all these kids.
Yeah, they're like, all right, now let's go have a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, let's adopt them.
So, yeah, so they all have dinner. And they're talking about normal family things like terraforming the moon. And then after dinner, Valeria Richards reveals that she's working with Dr. Doom to help him restore his mind. And Reed Richards has to let Dr. Doom into the Future Foundation.
Yep.
Ruh-roh.
What?
That's going to screw up the family dynamic, Daniel. What are they going to do?
I know.
So there's there's a bit of continuity here that I'm not super fresh on. I looked up the Dr. Doom thing. He apparently lost the parts of his memory where he can do magic and science.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still an asshole. But when he lost, the way that he lost it was in a Hulk issue where I think he was on Sakaar. And they were both on Sakaar? No, Scar was there. I don't know. I looked it up. And he like absorbed the Hulk's cosmic energy, but Bruce Banner had the foresight enough to like put a poison in his cosmic energy. It's like not a good explanation for why he lost his memory. But I think Hickman does a pretty good job of fixing it.
Yeah, just sweeping that under the rug. And
yeah, like, he's just like, I don't know. But I think there's a couple of continuity fixes in this book, which I think is interesting. But but yeah, there's a huge Future Foundation cast, but I like the main people, who I think they still call the First Family.
I'm torn on how to name this episode. Like, do I do just FF, since that is like the title? Do I do parentheses Fantastic Four or parentheses Future Foundation?
All of it.
Yeah.
FF, parentheses Fantastic Four, parentheses Future Foundation, parentheses Thanksgiving episode. I think that'd be the best. Dana, issue two. The Thing's not very happy that Doom is going to join the Future Foundation.
Pretty salty about it.
Invisible Woman has to break up their fight. And I love this scene.
This is like one of the best panels of The Thing.
It really is, because he's so furious. The one where he's smashing stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, the way that he's able to make him like emote is so good. And I love just how big his like arms and like and shit are. He's just like so inconveniently big. But and then Epting does like, I think that they've done a good job with The Thing here, because he's not like the hyperbolic like Boston dude. I'm like interested in his perspective, because he like hates Doom, and but he's known Doom for like a while, and so he doesn't like view him as like this, like, I don't know, this king of like Latveria. He's just like this dude that he used to know.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about their dynamic. I think they do a good job with that here. But so The Thing goes to a bar because he's like, I'm pissed. And Sue Storm is sent after him to convince him to be okay with it, but she doesn't really like it much either. So it's a weird thing. And then later the Future Foundation kids come up with the idea to restore Doom's mind by just using a backup copy, which is in Kristoff, his like kid. And that's insane that they're like, do you have a backup somewhere?
Yeah.
And he's like, I do.
Yeah. Did you like back it up to like a hard drive or something?
That's what I was like, why was that an idea? And then Reed's like, that's a great idea. But like,
he was prepared for this, I guess. And if he had died, his son would just be him and continue ruling Latveria.
Yeah. So there is a fairly solid explanation, I feel like. So Kristoff is the now leader of Latveria.
Is that the dude that was in the She-Hulk?
I think so.
I remember it being Kristoff, was it?
I think it was Kristoff. Yeah, it was Kristoff.
Oh.
So this is the guy that legally defected from Latveria.
It didn't seem like it stuck.
Yeah, no. So Kristoff is the leader of Latveria currently, and he's the dude that Doom took in after his mom died or got murdered to eventually make him the Latverian leader after Doom died. So he's like not biologically related. He just like took him in.
Okay.
And when Doom was believed to be dead, Kristoff had his mind programmed with Doom's memories. So Kristoff did it, and not Doom didn't have the foresight to be like, I'm going to die probably, so let me just back up my memories. But I guess he got to him early enough to where he could just get his memories and just put them in himself. So Dana, what do? They build a machine that allows them to transfer the missing portions back, and then they just go through with it.
Or purge. There's two big buttons.
The whole scene is insane, because and like my favorite part is that they took what I would imagine to be an incredibly invasive procedure, like a medical process, and they diminished the whole operating system of this machine down to two buttons that say transfer or purge.
What if you trip?
Why would it just be like, why is that an option? It was, this thing was clearly built for one reason, but yeah. Someone coded in the option to purge, and Reed's like, maybe I should push that button.
And Reed could just like end a lot of suffering real quick.
He was really, really close to doing it. And Spider-Man's like, don't do that. I'm not going to say anything, but don't do that.
Yep.
It's insanity.
I press the wrong button all the fucking time.
I feel like it would just be like a lever or something. Like, it's supposed to do one thing. You shouldn't have the option.
Yeah, be all to mad scientist.
To just wipe his memory, right? Unless, like, I don't understand why they built it and gave that an option.
I wish they made the buttons bigger. This is like that meme of that dude with the two buttons and he's like sweating. It's like,
you're so right.
Transfer Doom's mind or purge his brain.
He's like, oh, fuck. You're absolutely right. This is exactly what it is. But the process is taking small bits of memories out of one person's mind, which, how does it decide? How does it know?
I think it's like,
and then transfers it into a new person's mind without killing him.
They like narrow down what parts of the brain those things are.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And so I guess it just.
But does Kristoff not
sucks out all this stuff?
Does Kristoff not operate in those parts of his brain? He just like cleared it out for Doom. He organized his brain memories.
Maybe like overwrote his brain. You know, whatever's in there.
No, maybe
if he knew any like card tricks, those are gone now because it's all mystic shit now.
Yeah. No, now he knows actual magic, which sucks.
Gets no bitches with Mystic.
So he gets his memories back, and he's like, I'm an asshole again. What's up, everybody? And then after that, Doom talks to Valeria and is like, all right, I'll hold up my end of the bargain. And Reed's like, what was your end of the bargain? And he's like, we're going to kill you now.
No. It says, I promised her I would help her defeat you or something like that.
I agreed to help your daughter defeat you, Richards. So let's get on with it, shall we? Is what he says.
Right. So I'm right. You said kill.
What did I say? Kill?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to defeat somebody. That's an insane issue, but in a ridiculous cliffhanger, but it's pretty fun at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I didn't expect this development.
Yeah, this is definitely a crazy story, and it's set up in a way for you to just be like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I think he does like actually a pretty good job not revealing everything.
Yeah.
But what sucks is that like we don't really know what's going on by the end of the trade still.
I feel like there's
still
like
one big
idea.
Question. But yeah, he does set up the problem.
I have tons of questions, but I'm like, I get what this was.
I do too. And I'll let the brain transfer thing slide because I think he was just trying to fix continuity at that point. So
right.
So in issue 3, the Future Foundation invites and gathers a group of baddies. And these baddies are the Wizard, the High Evolutionary Diablo, and the Mad Thinker, and some AIM guys. I was trying to get it out before you did it. Okay, so let's go in order here. The Wizard, don't know.
I guess he's a wizard. I haven't seen him do anything.
Yeah, he's not very impressive. The High Evolutionary.
Dude, his head looks like a kettlebell.
Sick name. He's got a kettlebell head. Don't know what he does or why he's important.
Then he's also got the Ascension Machine.
Yes.
So I don't know.
His home is the vessel of the world builder, the home of the High Evolutionary, summoned back to Earth by the activation of the Ascension engine. Do you just put that in Google Maps or like?
Yeah.
That is so much. And he looks great. Don't know who he is though. Then we have Diablo.
What is Diablo? Is he the devil?
He's not really. He's just kind of.
He's just a guy sitting in a tree.
He just is a guy sitting in like the superhero pose when you sit in a chair and he's in a tree.
And he's got some little demons.
But he's not even in hell. He's in Rubido. It looks pretty nice, but to just take Diablo and this is like Marvel's Diablo.
Yeah.
A little underwhelming.
Maybe they didn't want an actual devil named Diablo.
Yeah. Maybe they wanted somebody that was easily beaten because I could beat this guy up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
He looks just like a jester or something.
His helmet looks like a mixture between Wolverine and Hela.
Yeah.
And I thought of that just now and I'm proud of it. Then we have the Mad Thinker. I am familiar with this guy. He just builds stuff. And he's also the guy that makes the mindless ones, I'm pretty sure. Because I think there's a couple of them standing in the background.
Oh.
Remember those guys?
Kind of.
Maybe.
Did we see them in a book?
I could be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure I've... Yeah, we've seen the mindless ones in Avengers versus X-Men. There's like these big guys that just like run around.
All right.
So I do know a little bit about him. And then, I don't know, there's these like two AIM generals. And they're like, I don't know what's going on here, but...
Yeah, they're working with like...
they're working with the wizard.
The wizard.
Yep, yep, yep. So they all get invited, like formally, by like hand-delivered invitation. And Doom's like, hey, you should come to the Baxter building so that we can defeat Reed Richards. And they're like, that sounds pretty good. Let's do that.
And it's like his family delivering him and shit like
that. Yeah, and so that's like a fun dynamic because it's just weird to approach a villain and be like, not here to start some shit, but you're invited.
Yeah.
And so they all meet at Baxter building with Reed and Doom. And right as they're about to explain this mysterious plan, the Watcher pops in, Daniel.
He sure does.
I love a good Watcher pop in scene.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, ah, they fucked up something. To really just, like, he pops in and it's like, oh, man, just really demonstrate.
Yeah,
like,
this is getting heavy now.
Yeah, like, now the stakes are high because this guy pops in and says
nothing. I did that page turn, I'm like, what the fuck?
I love it, though. I love it when he pops in. I'm like, fuck yeah, things are big now.
Yeah.
But he's so passive aggressive. He doesn't even say anything this whole book. He's just like, I'm here. I just want you to know that I'm
here. Yeah, and he's like, Reed's like, the Watcher. What have you done, Valeria?
So Valeria reveals that she went through a portal that she found. She's like, oh, I'm going to see what's in here. And she talks to the multidimensional council of Reeds. She brings them to Earth after some Celestials try to kill them, I think. They get trapped on Earth, and now the Council is going to use a bunch of Earth's resources to build what's called Soul's Anvil, which is like a crazy weapon, I guess. It killed the Beyonder in some universe. So, pretty bad. I don't know why they need it, though. I guess it just will help them open a portal. I don't know.
Something like that.
And I like that one of the Reeds in the Council of Reed is bald. I think that's really funny.
There's got to be. Yeah, he's basically like Professor X. He's in a wheelchair.
He's in a wheelchair, too. I'm like, you can't do two of the characteristics of Professor X and make me not think that that's Professor X.
Yeah.
Like, make him bald, make another one disabled. That's fine. Together? No. That's already accounted for. So the Reeds, since they've been like here for a little bit, have started recruiting a race of Atlanteans. To be like their army, they recruit the Mole Man with his moloids, and one of the Reed...
Who's the Mole Man, Nathan?
Mole Man's the guy that has the moloids. He's a pretty big Fantastic Four villain, I would say.
What does he do?
He like powers? Controls like mole people.
Okay.
Remember the Underminer in The Incredibles?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's like pretty much who he is if that guy controlled mole people.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Gotcha.
But he's like pretty famous... Fantastic Four villain, I guess.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, the Reeds just start like recruiting people. One of the Reeds dies trying to work with Inhumans on the moon. And then another Reed Richards talks to Annihilus, who's in the negative zone. And Annihilus is like...
Who's Annihilus in?
He's the main baddie in Annihilation Wave.
I figured that, but what is he, like a god or something?
He's like a big guy. I've never read Annihilation Wave, so.
And who is the anti-priest?
Dude, I don't know.
He's just a guy with the minus symbol on his head.
He has the Annihilus's number. He can FaceTime him. That's pretty much what his contribution in this book was.
Yeah, right.
It's explained as the cult of the negative zone, and so I assume, one, how do people know about the negative zone? I don't know about the negative zone, if we have one. So I don't know why there's a cult, but yeah, he can FaceTime Annihilus, and that's why he's in this book. So Annihilus agrees to let them use the negative zone if they can keep the portal open to Earth 616. And he's like, you know what? That's fine because I don't want to be here anyway. But can you imagine being the Reed Richards that's selected to go to the moon to try and create a partnership with the Inhumans only to just die?
Yeah, because like, one of them can tell if he's lying and he was lying. And so they just kill him.
Yeah, which is sick and based on the Inhumans side of things.
Yeah.
How did he get there? It would be such a pain in the ass. He's like...
Spaceship?
Probably, but like the Reeds are like in a circle and they're like, okay, I'll go to Antarctica or wherever Atlantis is. And someone's like, I'll go to the other side of Zero, wherever that is. Looks like it's Manhattan or some shit. And then this guy, you're going to the moon. So that would be super annoying.
Is it the wheelchair guy too?
Yeah, it's a wheelchair guy. They made the guy that can't even walk go to space.
They made him fly. Yeah.
So he's overcome a lot of obstacles just to die. But
yeah.
So now the Reeds are building the anvil and they want to start a war. So that's what's going on. But so there's a lot of developments that all kind of just happened in this issue, but I like that it was all kind of compact into this rather than it being like big chunks that all happen throughout the book, because I wouldn't be able to keep up.
Yeah, this is like my favorite issue just because I thought it was crazy.
It was just, this is when I was like, okay, here's the Hickman we know and love. He's going to talk to every fucking corner of the Marvel Universe, the Negative Zone, the Atlanteans, the Maloids.
Shit you forgot about.
Yeah.
Like shit. Annihilus.
Yeah. And that's just what he does. So issue 4, this is where the artist change happens. What's funny is that I saw the drawing of the sandwich and I was like, is this what's his name? Frank Quitely?
You thought the sandwich is very Frank Quitely?
I thought the sandwich and then the next panel of like Spider-Man and Sue. I was like, this looks like Frank Quitely stuff.
Yeah. But it's also like the coloring in too. That kind of makes it look a little different. Like, look like that. You know?
I agree.
Because this shit's always like really bright.
It is.
There's not a ton of like blacks and darkness. And
yeah. All
and
the stuff. Like darks are like pretty gray. Like there's no like
it's basically black. Gray.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, while this like meeting's happening with the Fantastic Four, they're trying to figure out how to take down the Council of Reeds. And one of them's like, we should just kill their families. And then Reed's like, well, they gave all that family stuff up when they joined the council. So they can't do that. But I like this conversation with Spider-Man and Sue, where Sue's like, I'm not scared that we have a bunch of villains in our house because I've taken them all out myself. And I'm like, fuck yeah, you have.
Hell yeah.
I also really like this panel where it's everybody in the meeting room and everybody has name tags. I'm like, this helps a lot, actually.
Yeah. In case you forgot.
Yeah. In case you forgot that the High Evolutionary looks like a dumbbell kettle.
Mm.
There's an alarm that goes off throughout the building, which comes from like a shell that the Atlanteans gave them. And it tells them that there's like some shit going down in Atlantis.
That's how they FaceTime.
I guess that's how they FaceTime, is through the conch shell.
Mm-hmm.
And in the council room, Valyria reveals that the council's like building the anvil or whatever, but they need to go to Atlantis. And then Sue, Spider-Man, and Franklin make it to Atlantis, and then they find, I think it's another Atlantean race trying to destroy the shield that's covering Atlantis. And then also Mole Man shows up with his army and one of the Reeds, and she's like, why is Reed Richards here?
Okay, so page 91 at the bottom, like when Spider-Man's gonna go save the kid, he's like, Alex, look out. Who the fuck is Alex?
I don't know. I thought that was Franklin.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, because he like, it looks like old.
Is he in the first issue like lineup
thing? I'm going back.
I'm already there. Alex Power. He's the eldest of the Power Clan, known as Power Pack. Oh, he's a Power Pack kid. Why is he there?
There's a Power Pack person in here?
Yeah. He has the ability to control gravity. Okay, so Franklin just doesn't do shit in this book.
Yeah, dude. I thought he was like the strongest bitch.
He is. In his description in this book, it says, will one day be the most powerful mutant on Earth. Kind of a spoiler if you're just reading this. If you're reading this book like when it comes out, I feel like. But
yeah, what's that about?
Spoiler for the Marvel Universe. But okay, this guy's from Power Pack. And
we should read a Power Pack book one day.
We should do that next week. I don't even know who they are.
I'm so sick of Marvel right now.
But yeah, we should also do the guy, it's like the group, the superhero group of teenage kids, and they have a TV show. Fuck, it's in Marvel. Speedball's a part of it. New Warriors. I actually really unironically like the Civil War book where he turns evil and emo.
Oh, yeah.
Unironically love. Telling me about that's like my biggest comic hot take, because everybody hates Penance, but I've never read Speedball before, so when I first found out about Speedball, he had killed a bunch of people by accident and then became emo.
That's what started the Civil War.
Yeah, that's what, like, yeah, exactly. We should have like a month where we read group comics that no one cares about anymore.
Teams and shit.
Yeah, teams. Like, what are some DC ones?
Justice League Dark, maybe.
I feel like people care about that though. We should read Justice League Dark.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking like
the Titans.
People like Titans. Maybe like there's Heroes for Hire. Like no one really cares about them. I care about them, but no one really else cares about them.
We Are Robin.
Oh, yeah. The book that got you into comics.
The first appearance of Duke.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's where he's from.
Wow.
Yeah, We Are Robin or like. Yeah, I'm
sure like those like supervillain groups, like the there's always like some team of like supervillains,
like Legion of Doom.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. We'll look at some underground ones. Where are we in this book? We just finished issue 4.
At the end of 4, did you explain everything?
Yeah. One thing though, that Atlantean race that's like trying to take out the shield is fucking gross.
Yeah, they're all pretty nasty.
It looks like a big fucking worm with little worms coming out of his face.
Yeah, a lot of yuckies.
I like how Sue Storm is killing them, though. She's just like opening up a hole in the middle of them.
Yeah, which like, some sort of like, I guess, shield or something.
It's like a shield cylinder, and they're just opening them up and just killing them.
That's cool.
It's
very not violent, but also very brutal.
It's like brutal to me. Like, imagine if like a hole just opens in my stomach.
Or in your chest, you know?
It's like when someone gets shot by like a cannon or something, and if it just like went straight through them. That's what she's doing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sick. Okay, so issue 5. Sue's like, what the hell, Reed? Why are you helping Mole Man? And then she's like, oh, that's not my Reed Richards. And so Reed like blasts Sue out of the sky. Spider-Man catches her. And then Alex gets his arm broken by one of the invader people. And then they blow up Atlantis. So I like Alex using his powers.
Oh, yeah. What's he do?
He just like makes people heavy. And I'm like, that's pretty sick.
Hmm.
But he also somehow manipulated gravity in such a way that he created a wall or like some sort of a barrier. To like stop people from coming through. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he just made like the ground
like sink. Deeper. Oh, yeah. That's probably what would happen then. It looked like a wall came up, but I can see how he would make it deeper.
He just made an abyss, like a moat around it.
So meanwhile, the Thing is like struggling with his love life, mm-hmm. which is such a weird contrast to go from like there's a whole Atlantean war going on with the Council of Reeds. And
why does he got his shirt off when he's visiting this girl?
Because he's got to like flex, you know?
Yeah. So he goes to talk to his hoes.
Yeah. He goes to talk to his hoe, Alicia.
Yeah. Is that his main love interest?
Yeah.
I think it is his wife. Okay.
I think it's his wife at this point. But like it's so funny to transition from a war and a civilization being wiped out essentially to just some people at home talking over some tea.
Yeah.
That's why I love the Thing.
That's what's great about comics.
Yeah. And then to wrap up, the Reeds are trying to fix something for their project in the Anvil, and then they get interrupted by the Inhuman royal family on their floating city. And that's it.
Who is that, Nathan? Who are these Inhumans you speak of?
You don't know the Inhumans?
Blackagar,
Boltagon.
Medusa.
Medusa. We got Karnak when he was a big nerd.
Who's the guy with the shoulder pads?
Dude. Oh, dude. I used to know this when I was reading Inhumans for some reason. This guy, his name also starts with a K, I think.
Oh, there's Lockjaw.
Lockjaw's there. The kid that kind of looks like Nightwing almost is Black Bolt's son. And then there's the Fishman. That's his name. Don't test me on it.
His name is Fishman.
It's Fishman, and everybody loves Fishman, so don't even.
Fishman is everyone's favorite Inhuman.
I'm going to look up just the Inhuman royal family. Hold on.
Who are these like unlocked, or who are these locked characters behind them?
You don't unlock them until the second trade, so they don't matter.
You have to keep reading in order to get them.
Yeah. Yeah, because like this is like the main.
I don't love Black Bolt's like shoulder pads in this.
Yeah, it seems
if they're black, that'd be different. But
black would be sick, wouldn't it?
Right?
No, it feels like they're a little out of place because there's nothing else that's gold. Like if his little fork was gold, I'd be down for it.
That's but one thing.
They don't match anything.
Yeah, and they make like the stripes on his outfit gold. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
I need to make comics.
You should.
I got good ideas, Nathan.
Okay, so Nightwing looking dude, that's Prince Maximus. I can't confirm
that's
that.
Maximus.
Yeah.
That's not Black Bolt's son.
Isn't you're right. That's his brother. Guy? That's his brother. Yep.
Oh, they are brothers.
Okay. Yeah. Gorgon is the guy with shoulder pads. He's got horse legs.
I remember.
He's and Triton is the fish man.
You should have remembered that.
I should have. That's a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. A lot easier of a name that is. But yeah, so that's the Inhumans.
That's a trade.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a super well-rounded 5 issues. And it left us with like the question of like, what did Reed Richards do?
He didn't do anything.
Well, like, there's a panel where Sue is talking with Reed, and Sue's like, why didn't you tell me about the multiversal yous that are running around? I don't understand what he did either. I think he's trying to keep it under wraps. He probably was a part of it at some point, because he says, oh, Susan, I've done something terrible. And that's kind of like the cliffhanger for like that A plot.
Probably getting them together is probably what...
He probably created them, yeah. I don't know. You've read further into this than I have, so is that
what happened? I don't remember. This is a long time ago.
Oh, okay. So
when did I read this? It's got to be like...
If that was during the...
3 years ago.
Spider-Man Unlimited running phase, number 2 North America, Daniel sitting right ahead in front of me.
Yeah, that was college.
Yeah, so...
a long time.
Would have been a while. But now let's go into some Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Steve Epting did some covers. Looks great. What looks even greater, I feel like, is Daniel Acuña. He's a fucking kick-ass.
Yeah, we see him a lot. He's awesome.
I think he was the guy that did X-Force. We've seen his stuff before, but...
I feel like it's just variant covers.
Yeah, his stuff looks really cool, and he does a good thing. We've got a Mark Bagley, Andy Lanning cover. Pretty cool. Some more Daniel Acuña. There's like a more like kiddish looking one from Stan Goldberg. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. And then some Ed McGuinness, Chris Sotomayor. And then we get the character variant covers from Marko Djurjevic. And he's great as well. He does a good Spider-Man one specifically.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. Only covers for Back Matter. But you know what? At least it's something.
You know what? We'll take it, because it's better than no Back Matter, you know?
Yeah, I was scared with the page count only being 128. I was like, there's no way we're getting Back Matter with that.
The character design, the character covers are kind of like character designs, you know?
Yeah, I think
so. I'm sure they're not what they base the book off of, but it is still kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So what would you rate this book?
I give it a double serving of mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay. Thanksgiving. I like that. I would
didn't
give
see
it
that coming, did you?
I would give it one to Turkey Key, because there's multiple Reed Richards in this book, and in a Turkey Key, if you don't watch How I Met Your Mother.
If you know,
they,
you know.
If you know, you know. But they put a turkey inside of a turkey. I think that's going to happen in this book. Reed Richards is going to enter himself.
Maybe. Never know.
Hopefully. Maybe that's the horrible thing he's done. He had gay sex with himself. Is it gay if you do that?
Is it masturbation?
Probably more masturbation, I would say. Unless you love him. But then that's just, you're conceited? There's a lot of big questions here. Hopefully Hickman will cover it. But that's what I would rate it.
There's spoilers for like Rick and Morty, like the newest season. But like, I think Beth is like the mom's name or whatever.
Yeah.
There's like another Beth from like a different universe, and they start like hooking up.
Oh, crazy.
It's so weird. It's so, because there's such long drawn out scenes. Oh, like, why man. Don't you feel uncomfortable?
And they're like, I don't know how to feel about this.
And I was like, is this okay? I don't think so.
You know what? Marvel would never do that. So I'm glad that somebody is.
Rick and Morty would be the show to do it.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, pretty solid. Definitely the least complex Hickman book I've read, I feel like.
Probably. I don't think it's quite the wholesome family book that we were shooting for in the Thanksgiving thing, but there's always next year.
Yeah, always next year. We'll read a different Fantastic Four thing.
Yeah.
So let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
Mm-hmm.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
You know, I had such a light week this week.
I did too.
There were some new things, but I've decided I'm not going to pick up new things unless they're known to be certified bangers until I catch up a little bit on my comics reading.
So, did that new Fantastic Four come out?
Yes.
Did you get it?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's a certified banger. There's Alex Ross covers. That's always a good sign. It's Ryan North, who I enjoy.
Right.
But I didn't pick it up.
Okay. It's quite the self-control, because I really like the cover on
the
that
cover's
one.
So good, dude.
It's like,
I almost picked it up for the cover, because it's Alex not Ross even read it. Yeah. Like drawing, but with like super cool like rainbowy colors and shit. And I'm like, this is so cool. Yeah. It's so like neon. but no, I didn't pick it up.
So I'm guessing you also skipped Wildcats that came out today.
I did.
Okay.
Is that the like the Wildcat imprint?
Wildstorm.
Or, sorry. Yeah, Wildstorm.
Yeah.
And then Wildcats. Yeah. Did you pick that up?
I didn't go to the shop today. I came like straight here from work.
Okay, gotcha.
Like when you texted me on the way, I was like leaving too. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm more of a Saturday buyer now.
Wow. But big boomer.
I know. I have to work it in with my grocery shopping and chores. And
like, I do live next to a comic shop, so I can't really say. Or I can't really talk.
But. It's like out of the way. And honestly, it'd be more convenient to go to Gotham City Comics, but I just don't like that shop. So,
yeah, that's fair.
I just feel uncomfy when I'm in there.
Yeah.
And parking's ass.
Dude, it is.
Like, I guess I could park behind it.
It's bad when Tempe parking is better.
Yeah, I know.
Which is crazy.
There's like 20 parking spots at Ash Avenue, and I still think that's more convenient.
Yeah. Well, you always manage to somehow get one, which is good.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had to like walk to the store. I just kind of circled for a while.
You just, do one or two loops and you're like, this will work.
Yeah.
I picked up Do a Power Bomb.
Number six. That's all I'm probably going to get.
Yeah. And I also picked up Kaya number 2.
All right.
Which is that Wes Craig book.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like a Adventure Time homage cover, I'm pretty sure. Cause cool. It reflected that style a lot. So pretty good. But that's all I picked up this week. Just 2 books. I can't remember last time I like went to the store and picked up 2 books.
Yeah. I also need to get like bags and boards and stuff because I buy them in like the packs or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just makes me feel good.
It's probably smarter. I've just been buying them with the books that I get because they're only a quarter. But in the long run.
A quarter?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's pretty good, right?
No, I feel like they're not that much.
They're not. I'm getting fucked.
No, aren't they like 10 cents at Ash? I haven't bought them in years, so I don't know about
I think they're about a quarter.
I'll ask.
But like if you were to buy the packs, like they'd probably come down to like 5 cents. 5 cents like a bag and board, if that. So,
probably.
So in the long run, they could be getting millions of dollars from me.
Yeah.
Depending on how many comics I buy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, did you read anything this week?
Yeah, Nathan, I read Everyday Hero Machine Boy.
Yay! What'd you think?
You can have that back.
Oh, thank you.
Nathan, I did not need this kind of emotional damage in the middle of my week.
I know.
Yeah, that was... I guess I kind of expected it, but it did hit in a way I'm like, ah, damn, that hurts.
They did... Isn't it just such like strong like storytelling, and it's like so simple, and like the pacing of it's really fun? And he likes meatballs and spaghetti or whatever. So
yeah, I'm like, this is a robot. Why is he eating?
There's like tons of like just likable characters, like the grandma and the grandpa and stuff like that. And they just like love each other. It felt like just, I don't know. It was simple, but for some reason, I really fucked with it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think I liked it quite as much as you did, but I just had like a lot of questions and obviously not everything needs to be explained, but like things just kind of kept happening, like things happened, and I was like, I guess that's how this works. Like there's just people that are animals. Like there's a Mr. Hounds, he's like got a store, and he's a dog man.
I thought of this from the lens of like a Studio Ghibli film.
Sure.
And if you're watching like My Neighbor Totoro, you're like, okay, they're at a bus stop. Okay, the bus is a cat. Gotta run with it.
Right.
But it looks cool visually, you know. So
you had to run with like a lot.
And I think that's fine. I don't know why like the city's in a big dome, but that's not what's important here, you know?
Right. Yeah. And then it felt like there's like things I liked about it, things I didn't like about it. You know, I wasn't trying to be like too critical about it. I was just trying to have like a good read.
Yeah. I think it is a good read.
I was hoping it would be like a little bit better or like more like what I thought it would be based off like the cover. I think like the best part about that book is like his design.
Yeah, it's such a good design.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I feel like a lot of the designs like of both the characters and like the pages that they would do are really strong.
Yeah, and then like colors and artwork are like incredible.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that. And so what part got you emotionally distressed?
The stuff about the grandpa, like at the first issue.
I hated that.
I was like, oh no. And then also like the shit about like the car at the end.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, this is terrible. I hate this.
And he's like, he felt so bad. He's like,
I'm like, it's totaled. And then the grandma's like, we can fix it. I'm like, no, you can't.
No, it's fucked. You can't fix it.
In comic book logic, they can fix it.
You know? And the grandma was just so understanding and nice. So I liked, I don't know. It was a different book for me, but I really like YA stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's fun. I think if I randomly picked that up and read it, I would be pretty happy with it. I like blew through it. Like I just sat down and
it's a quick read
and read it in like maybe an hour or something.
Yeah,
like, within an episode of whatever Sarah was watching.
Yeah, I'm happy to know that there's more coming.
There is more coming.
Yeah. What's funny is that they advertise Super Dinosaur from Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard.
Banger.
Which is a banger, yeah.
Comic book classic.
What's also funny is that there's a reading guide with discussion questions, so that if this is actually being taught like in school or something for some reason, then there's like little questions.
Also, the spaghetti recipe.
In the back matter, there's a spaghetti recipe, yeah. Which is sick.
Yeah, gotta love that.
Gotta make those. I gotta make Grandma May's spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm glad you read it. I enjoyed it. Did you read anything else?
Oh, I read Minor Threats, number one.
Oh, cool.
By Patton Oswalt.
Pretty solid.
Pretty solid, yeah. I like the concept a lot, and I like the plot is really good. The world building is pretty interesting. It looks great. It does look really good.
The
setting and shit is all really cool, and all the characters are really cool designs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a little dense. Like I felt like it took a half hour to read like one issue.
I agree. Yeah.
If he just like lightened up on that, maybe it's just context for the number one. But if he lightened up on that, I'm like, this would be a kick ass book.
You know? Yeah, I agree. I think he could have spread that out a little bit more. Like, yeah. Wait, what?
And it was like $5.99 or something.
Oh yeah, it is expensive.
I don't fuck with that.
But yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, I think for a comic written by like an actor, I was like, this is pretty good. Because sometimes they're not. I read Behold Behemoth by Tate Bromball and the other dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was like pretty good, but I'm not going to pick up more.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
I feel like you did your comic book reader duty by like trying something new.
The artwork was incredible, and I will definitely follow that guy more because he carried it. But like the concept's like a detective kind of dude, and he in his dreams he sees like a monster, and then he goes his brother's dead too, and that's sad, and then he goes to a murder and he finds out that the monster might be real because of the things that he's seeing or whatever. So it's like, it's kind of like that, like nothing too crazy, but the page designs and like the coloring for it definitely like kept me engaged the whole time. So and I think it's just like an artist thing.
Nice.
But that was like the only thing I read.
Okay. Did you watch anything new?
I watched a couple more episodes of Guillermo del Toro. Is that him? The
Cabinet of Curiosities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only just like a couple because Sophia's mainly been watching it and I would just catch a couple as I could. But I
watched like the first three.
Okay.
The first one is definitely like the best one. It's got Tim Blake Nelson.
Is that dude's name? The racist guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I've seen him before
He's not a racist actor, but the character is racist.
He's racist. There's no way he could act being racist that good. So
he's so good at being racist.
He's so good. He's so good at being like, you know what? White guys are oppressed.
Yeah.
when he said that like in the car to himself, he's like, he's right on like the radio.
Yeah,
he's like, fuck, God.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, this didn't even need to be in there, honestly.
Yeah.
That was like the best one. The second one was like,
I didn't catch the second or third one, but
it was about this like grave robber who like runs into these rats that are eating bodies and with their treasures with it. And so it ends up being just like a big rat. And that is like the king of these rats.
Not a big rat.
Yeah, I know. And so that was okay. I do like appreciate the concept and I do know a lot of the directors and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And then what was the third one? The third one was a slow burn, but the end was like super worth it. It's like this alien that just takes over like a human body and like kind of feeds off of it for a while and then transfers to another one.
Oh,
but that's cool. I think it drinks like blood or something. And I don't know. That one was really cool. Cause like it talks and it's like a pretty smart alien and talks like this doctor that's doing an autopsy on it.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched one that was like an hour long like right before coming here, and that one was pretty good. I think it was like episode 6 or something.
Okay. Yeah, I do want to finish them. I tried to get Serendum because there was like horror or whatever, but mm-hmm. a lot of them aren't like scary, but it is like those horror concepts like Guillermo del Toro does.
Yeah. He doesn't like make things like super fucked, I guess, but there's still like scary things to happen. I don't know. He hits like a... I feel like he makes horror that's like pretty mature, but something that like kids could watch probably.
I think he is good at like the monster horror stuff. Like there is a clear like monster thing.
Yeah.
And it's a weird design. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see those like in the first episode, I was like, oh, that's sick.
You know what I mean? It is cool.
The first one was super heavy into
like demons,
demonic stuff. Yeah. Like, but anyway, did you watch anything else?
Nope, I did not.
I watched this show on Netflix called Inside Man. It stars Stanley Tucci and the dude from fucking Kilgrave. Who's that? David Tennant?
David Tennant, yeah.
Yeah, David Tennant's in it. And pretty good. The first episode is like a fantastic first episode. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, it pulled up a movie that Denzel Washington is in called Inside Man.
Not that. So Stanley Tucci is like this prisoner on death row who is like a private detective kind of thing. And he's like solving a lot of these like cases like while in prison, mm-hmm. you know? And David Tennant is like a priest in like London or whatever, and he just kind of gets himself into like a sticky situation that might cause him to go to jail. And so that's all I'm really gonna tell you about it, because I think you should watch it.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But it is like really good, like really well written and stuff like that. And it's only like 4 episodes, like 4-hour-long episodes, so it's kind of like a long movie. Yeah, so I liked that it wasn't like
long. Yeah, that's attractive to me.
I don't think I would have finished it if it was like 10 episodes.
Okay.
But it was like
everything. What a resounding review.
Yeah. No, but like because it was 4 episodes,
that's why you started it, or?
It was like number 5, and Sarah had heard about it. And I like these people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, those are good actors. That's pretty cool.
And then have you heard of the show called The Peripheral on Amazon?
Yeah, you have to watch it looking out the wall.
What?
You got to use your peripheral.
Yeah,
is that the one with Chloe Grace Moretz?
I don't know her name, but she
Kick-Ass was... Kick-Ass Girl?
She's Hit Girl.
Hit Girl, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 2032, Nathan, the future.
Oh, my God.
And they got VR, but really good VR.
In 10 years.
Yeah, but it's somehow VR that takes you to the future somehow.
Cool.
And...
Man, Meta's come a long way.
Definitely. And it's very confusing. I watched 2 episodes. First episode, and it looks really expensive, like the show. I'm like, if they put this amount of money in like Paper Girls, it probably would have been like 10 times better.
Really? Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's like kind of like Amazon's Westworld, like this show.
It's a Prime show?
Prime show.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was like, damn, this looks expensive, and... The episodes are long as fuck. Like the first one's like 1 hour 12.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, and then the second episode, I was like, I'm going to go do something else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's not bad, but it definitely lost me.
Okay.
In the second episode. Cause I'm like, I have no fucking clue what's going on, but there's only like 4 episodes out or something like that. And it's coming out weekly. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I just heard about it.
And weren't crazy about it.
It's just a lot. And it is very like sci-fi. When I think I should love it, and I feel like if I had the time, someone might like it. You know, you like video games. It's about video games.
Oh, that's me. Yeah. I'm in.
You like a video game thing?
you like a Mario, don't you?
Yeah. Have you played new video games or?
I started playing the Modern Warfare campaign, the new Modern Warfare 2 campaign.
When did that come out?
The game came out, or no, the
campaign.
The campaign came out last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The game came out, and then the campaign came out like a week later for some reason.
Right, but the game included like the matchmaking or whatever, or multiplayer?
Yeah, you had the multiplayer and stuff.
Gotcha.
And there's a co-op thing, but I haven't touched it yet. But it's pretty good. I'm like a little more than halfway through it, and it's like pretty simple. There's a lot of stealth missions, like too much, I think, which that's like my favorite part of like the original Modern Warfare 2.
Which being quiet and just like doing stuff.
You got a ghillie suit and you crawl around in some water, and then you both snipe a group of two people standing next to each other. It is really cool.
You got to wait till their heads line up or whatever.
They're like, or if there's a group of three, they're like, okay, you run over there and then we'll shoot two at once and you feel really good, right? But there's like a lot of that. It's fun. There's one episode in particular that does, or one mission in general that does it really well, I think. Because Price is like, he's like the one that's spotting them, and he's like, they're 500 meters away, so you need to go two notches up on your scope or whatever. So I think that part's fun, but it's pretty good when it's not stealth missions.
Mm.
Like, there's a part where you're trying to chase someone who's in Mexico, he's like just jumped over the border, and so you're like trying to chase after him, and then there's like Mexican cartel people that are like trying to get in the way of you doing it. But I like this better than the last Modern Warfare campaign.
So you're Border Patrol?
You are for a second, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, so there's some creative things, but I'm liking it so far. It's not like incredible, but I like it. There's a part that really pissed me off in one of the stealth missions. Do you remember in the original Modern Warfare 2 where you have to like lay down and there's people in like tanks that are like walking and you have to try and avoid them from like stepping on you?
Are you under the tank?
You're not under the tank, but there's a part where you're in a ghillie suit and you're in some tall grass and you're just like crawling on the ground and there's people that are like walking by you.
I don't remember that, but I can like imagine it.
Okay, so that was a thing that happened in Modern Warfare 2, the original one. I hate that I have to clarify, but I thought it was like pretty good scene. In one of the stealth missions, that happens three times, and it's so annoying. Because two of the times you're on a mountain and there's like a road, and for some reason a convoy of people stop on this like random point on the mountain and they just decide to walk around for like 2 minutes.
Right.
And then they get back in the truck and then leave. But I don't know why twice they decide to do that, and I have to like bob and weave. And what's even more infuriating is that they've clearly coded one guy to just unknowingly walk into you, so you do have to actually move out the way.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off so much.
It's just filler.
I did it like first time both times, but I was pissed that like I couldn't just lay down and then like hope that the pre-coded pathways just like went around me already. Yeah. That would make me feel at least a little bit cooler. But the fact that I could see a guy walking one direction and then like slightly turning and then coming at me pissed me off.
Right.
I was not a fan. So I don't think I played anything new other than that. So,
gotcha.
So that's it.
That's it.
What are we reading next week, Daniel?
What are we gonna read next week? We're reading Guardians of the Galaxy, Nathan.
Oh, because the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special is coming out.
Sure is. We're reading the run by Abnett and Lanning.
Yes.
I don't know their names. I think it's Adam Lanning.
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
Andy Lanning, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I think you're wrong, but anyway.
I think I'm so right. Let's look it up right now. I'll put $5 on it, and I'm right.
At least said Ban Abnett.
Roll the tapes. Yeah, that's like the run that like the James Gunn one is kind of based off of.
And is it?
Yeah, I think this is like the first time we're seeing this cast of characters is with this run.
Okay.
I think. I'm pretty sure, because there's like other Guardians of the Galaxies where it's like Yondu's like a part of it and like some weird ass people.
Dude, there's like fucking a lot of people, like Quasar's in this one, and like I think Adam Warlock's in this one.
Yeah, so like.
And like Cosmo's in this one. So yeah. How would this be the inspiration?
Oh, the Dan Abnett one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think this is at least the first time we're seeing like the, I don't know. Maybe I got that twisted. But, like, I don't think it was up until this run that, like, Rocket was in it, or, like, Drax maybe wasn't even in it. I could be wrong about this, though. I could just be talking out my ass.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously there's a lot of more recent runs that have that lineup.
Because of the movie. Yeah.
Right. Actually, just looking at this, like, older one. I'm like, who the fuck are they?
Yeah, right? Like, Yondu is in one of them.
Who's this star guy?
I don't know. So, yeah, they got some weird people in there.
Is that Iron Man?
No, surely not.
In the Bendis run?
Oh, in the Bendis run, probably, yeah.
Cosmic Avengers?
No. Oh, yeah, that is Iron Man. Cosmic Avengers. Anyway,
I remember
reading the good one.
I remember reading this for some reason. I really like...
I've never read this.
I just remember reading it. I'm like, this is good. This is nice.
Okay, nice. That's what we want.
I'm like, this is what Guardians should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't remember how far I got into it, but I do remember like a certain scene, you know? And I'm like, oh, cool. God bless
you. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, I have to keep your season now.
Yeah, you're right.
Go like, go subscribe, go
follow.
Follow.
Send us some books to read via Gmail, tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, you don't have to send us the book, but tell us what to read.
Send us the book. Send us a PDF that's illegally pirated.
Buy the book. And then send it to my house.
Scan it physically, if you can fax it even.
No, send the book. Send I want book. Physical books.
Oh, you want them to like ship it to us?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, if you email us, we'll give you our address.
Yeah.
Daniel's address specifically.
I'll give you my mom's address to stay safe. all right.
All right, later.
That's it, bye.